Welcome to Drunk on Comics, episode number 209. Tony Linz and I this week sat down and did a sweet interview with Arlo Grammatica, the national sales manager of Ska Brewing out in Durango, Colorado.
Yeah, they sent us some beer, a comic book. The beer was amazing. The comic book was also awesome to find the history of Ska Brewing.
They also sent us a viewfinder, which...
1980s technology!
Who does that? But it was awesome. And Arlo was awesome. I would imagine everybody that works for Ska is awesome.
Tony is pretty much ready to move to Durango, Colorado right now. So if that says anything about this interview, you should be pretty prepared.
Yeah, so sit back. Find a Ska beer if you can, because...
Go to Illinois.
Yeah. Or one of the other states mentioned in the podcast.
Or Japan. Konnichiwa.
Yeah. Ska brewing. UK, if it's still there. And and sit back and enjoy Drunk on Comics podcast, episode 209, an interview with Arlo Grammatica.
Standard time, right? And I was like, yeah.
That's what I was thinking was going to happen too.
You think it would be like, yeah.
Yeah. Because they're behind us, right?
Yeah, by like 2 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
So she
she added 2 hours versus subtracting 2 hours?
She thought, I think, I don't know if she communicated it to him properly, because I think he thought it was going to be 7 his time, which is 9 our time.
Awesome.
All right. Ready?
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going, man? Sorry about that.
Sorry for the confusion, man. That's
time zones suck.
Yeah, I was like, I thought that was weird. I was like, 9 p.m. I was like, geez, they must be working late or something.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny because when I was talking to Ashley, and she's like, 7 Eastern Standard Time, right? And I was like, yes.
So. Oh, okay, good. So I'm like 5 minutes. I usually take my phone everywhere. And I just like, I'm going to watch dogs real quick.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's definitely all. Can you hear us all okay?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes. You're perfect. Okay,
I'm kind of home. I live in the country, so it's a little bad. Where are you guys at?
We're in Michigan, Grand Rapids.
Beer City, USA, sir.
Yeah,
it's true.
I didn't even find our beer. I don't think we sell it there.
You don't,
which is something we want to rag you about a little bit. So.
Yeah, why don't you get into this market?
This is a question we should be asking.
Our size, you know, it's kind of limited, and our space is limited, so we have a... It's a hard time keeping up with what we're doing in Colorado and kind of in the surrounding areas, Southern California, New Mexico, Arizona, and those type places. So it's been tricky. And
gotcha.
It's very competitive these days as well.
It's true.
We do have about 80 breweries in, I feel like, Grand Rapids alone, so I totally understand that. What is your distribution footprint right now?
It's currently 10 states and 4 countries, maybe 5 countries.
Nice.
I guess I should know this. I'm the sales manager. So, yeah. we are in, let's see, Southern California, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, obviously, Kansas, Nebraska, Missouri, Illinois, and Utah. We just opened Utah.
Well, Illinois is...
We're changing the Mormons.
There we go.
One party at a time.
Illinois.
And then we sell in Sweden, Norway, UK, and Japan.
Ooh. Nice. Japan?
And
that's...
Ireland. Well,
I feel like if you
UK
can get into
or Brexit, I mean, are you still going to be able to be over there?
Yeah, as far as we know, I had to check some of the guys like, is this going to mess things up? They're like, no.
Well,
so
we
that
are,
was funny.
We are
yeah, I was
drinking.
Hoping, like, the dollar would get a little better. But.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a good time to buy British pounds. I mean, you got that going for you. So, you guys sent us a couple beers, which was pretty awesome. We got some Modus Mandarina and the Mexican Lager, so thanks for hooking us up. We always love free beer. So.
Oh, nice.
Yes, and they're delicious, and now I'm just mad that I can't buy it in Michigan.
If we have to go on, like, a 3-hour road trip to Illinois, like, I'm down with it. It's just kind of annoying, so.
Yeah, you know, maybe you'll go to Chicago Comic Con or something.
We did, actually, this year, yep, so.
Well, we should just get into part of Ska Brewing and kind of how the synergistic, I hate that word, but comics and drinking, what we love, and that's what it seems what you guys love as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And ska music. We throw the ska music in there, you know.
I feel like I should live there. That's, like, the three things I love the most.
Yep.
Tell us about the origins of this brewery.
Well, it started in 95, actually. Sorry, last year was 20 years. and there was three owners, Bill, Matt, and Dave, and they just kind of were all homebrewers and just kind of started from there. It seems to be a kind of a not a unique story anymore these days, but a lot of home brewers, and then they just brewed, and every time that they brewed, the beers tasted better with ska music played, so they kind of went from there, and I don't know if you know the beer scene in Colorado in 95, it was all kind of hippie, mountains, bikes, dogs, and so we kind of needed to do something different.
So basically New Belgium is what you're saying?
Yeah, well, yeah, and everybody else who was around was just like, somebody's dog was on there, or there was a cutthroat trout or whatever the hell, you know, which is all fine. We love that. We're from Colorado, but, you know, needed a little something different. So we put the skulls and the comic book image, and there was a comic book handwritten, that they kind of tried to go to the bank with, but that didn't really play out, you know. They're going to give you loans on handwritten comic books with no pictures or anything. So and the whole story goes is, it was us against Rot Guts and Beer, which is a.k.a. Budweiser. And they had the monopoly on beer in the world. And so if you look at some of our labeling, like it's funny, the Mandarina is a version of our other beer called Modus Operandi, which has three of the characters. So the Pinstripe Red is the guy with the skeleton. If you guys looked at the website at all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the Pinstripe Red is the evil. He ran Rot Guts, and then his thugs are kind of the two guys walking next to him. They have orange heads, and that with that beer, unfortunately. But and then we have a whole story written behind it. Yeah, and the true blonde girl's the heroine story, and they get in a fight in the tinted bowling alley and kick it all away. And we actually do have the comic out a couple of years ago. We have it illustrated. Did Kristen send you one of those?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we got it. We got a copy, which was pretty cool because it was educational and fun.
And I loved the female character in it. She's badass.
Yeah, she's kind of the badass of the whole thing. You know, the owners are the goofy guys.
Yeah.
Nothing happened. So then the Mexican Lager was a spinoff. You know, they tried Rot Guts and tried to tunnel into Mexico, which is to keep it going. So we have more stories to write and illustrate someday. And he shuts them down at the board. They're getting their tools sharpened at his shop, and he realizes what they're doing, and he shuts it down. So that's why he's got the chainsaws, and he's kind of battling in some of the stuff.
Nice.
I love that the chainsaw says Saz on it, that you use the hop as the brand. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And that beer was really quite funny because, essentially, the owner, Dave, came out, and we were all working there. So I've been with the brewery 16 years, so I've seen most of the stuff go down, and we were all working, and he comes running out. He's like, there's a yeast strain from Mexico City on sale. We should make a Mexican lager. And they were like, yeah, we should call it Mexican lager with a chainsaw. And then it kind of happened. And then we've been selling it for, 10 years now.
So is that how a lot of the beers come around? And somebody's just like, hey, this is on sale. Hey, we should call it this. And then it happens?
Not all of them, but sometimes, you know, we're very open to whatever we kind of feel like. So that definitely keeps it fun and cool, you know. If somebody has a crazy idea, we're not opposed to trying to get it done if we think it's going to work. And we were kind of ahead of our time. Now there's loads of Mexican lager beers coming out. We've been making ours for well over 10 years.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like you guys have a lot of fun there. I mean, besides the comic book that you guys, which I would love to see this world expand, this comic book, you know, true life sort of, you know, memoir of the brewery, but also the viewfinder that you guys sent us is complete nostalgia for us. And I couldn't believe that, A, viewfinders are still in use, and B, that you guys are using them for promotion purposes.
And that you sent us one. It's awesome.
yeah, that was actually, that was me. I was like, I think I was on an airplane. I believe I saw them in Sky Mall, and I was like, no way. I love those things. Because I have a bunch of I actually collect, like, vintage toys and stuff, and I have a lot of old Viewmaster slides, like Disneyland and stuff. So I was so excited. And then I came back to the brewery, and everybody kind of laughed at me and was like, screw you guys, I'm fucking buying them myself. And I bought, like, 12 of them. And everybody was like, sweet, I ended up buying, like, 400 to use after I had to prove my idea was worth it.
Well, it definitely sets you guys apart. That's pretty awesome. I loved it because I just started laughing because I remember having one of these when I was a kid with, like, pictures of the Grand Tetons and shit like that. So this was a nice like, flashback to, like, 20 years ago. That's great.
Yeah, it's totally funny. I mean, we've gone into, like, multi-million dollar distributor meetings with those and be like, oh, here, take the tour if you want to sell us.
Did you get any weird looks
really
from that?
It's really funny watching big wigs put those up to their eyes. And
yeah. I'm sure they matched nice with a nice pinstripe suit, so, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I guess, there's a lot of big breweries in Colorado, like Great Divide, New Belgium. What separates you guys from them?
What separates us from them?
Yeah.
Well, we're kind of, I guess the main separation is we're 6.5 hours away from them. We're in Durango. So Durango is the four corners of the state.
Gotcha.
So we're kind of down in the almost, we're 45 minutes from New Mexico, basically. So that's one of the major separations. And I guess what separates us is, I guess, kind of just our bit of our attitude, our irreverence. Not that those guys are amazing, but they have a lot of fish and bikes.
Fish, bikes, and dogs, right?
So, back in the day, they were great, you know, and we love that. And they're all great friends of ours, you know. We ride bike with Brian Dunn from Great Divide and Adam Avery from Avery, and everybody does their thing. And I guess we just took a different angle, you know. Ska music at the time, 95, you know, there was a bit of resurgence in it, but, you know, it's still never really mainstream. And just the comic book kind of graphics, you know, at the time, that was totally out there for being on a beer label. I mean, if you can take yourself back to the 90s, I mean, you were just at that 90s party I heard on your other podcast. Take yourself back to the 90s. There wasn't a lot of that on beer labels.
No.
So that kind of set us apart. And we kind of do our own thing. You know, we're big mountain bikers and skiers and stuff and all that as well. So
you kind of have an awesome area to be able to do that. We're pretty flat and we have beaches around here and that's about it. So
I don't know. Yeah. I rode my bike up a hill today, and I'm still dead from it. And it was probably the world's smallest hill. So, kudos to you.
So when it comes down to the beers that you guys market and everything, do you – because coming from the home brewers who created this, this brewery and everything, obviously a lot of time and love goes into the craft, but also just experimentation. And how well does that continue to go? Is there a lot of experimentation still, or is it more of, we got a winner here and let's keep promoting it and selling it?
We have the flagships, they all come from ideas, and then we kind of, if they start working, you go from there. And we kind of focus on those, but, we kind of are trying to never stop experimenting. In fact, we just installed a 3-barrel brew house inside our brewery called the Mod Brewery, where we can do kind of wild, unique stuff for our tasting room, like kettle sours. We've got a killer Berliner Weiss right now that's kettle soured, and so it's got this nice sour tint. And we're actually in our tasting room. We've added these, like, old school, like, kind of these syrups, and they do this in Germany as well. So you can add flavorings if you want to. We've got raspberry and Woodford and all this stuff. So we're always kind of playing around with ideas and fun stuff to keep everything exciting and cool.
So are you guys still using the 7-barrel system that was in the comic book, or have you guys upgraded since then?
No, we've way upgraded. The big brewery is a 30-barrel system with 240-barrel tanks outside. You know, obviously there's a picture of that in the Viewmaster
Yeah. I was kind of curious when I read the comic book, and I went, seven barrels? Shit, how are they distributing beyond, like, 50 miles from where they are? That's a little bit small, but that's awesome that you guys are a lot bigger. Do you have a pilot system as well outside of the three-barrel one you were just talking about, or is that kind of your pilot system?
Yeah, we do. We do have a little one-barrel system, but that's pretty much not. We hardly ever use that anymore. We did a lot with that. You know, we let staff brew beers, and we do stuff with just restaurants and things that we felt like want to do some fun stuff. But that was just limited to maybe like 3 to 5 gallons.
Okay.
When we did it. So this newer system is opening a lot because we have a three-barrel system with 4 7-barrel fermenters. So we can do, you know, 15, 28 kegs or something if we think it's fun and push it out in our tasting room or maybe in limited some of our markets. So we've got room to experiment with loads of ideas now that we want to play around with. So it's been kind of exciting and fun, and everybody's antsy, so we're trying not to like overload the one guy who we kind of designated to brew on that. So.
That's awesome, though, that you guys are willing to go out and experiment after you have some definite like main brews that you make. Because I know a lot of the breweries around here like to do that too, even though they're huge. Like Founders is right down the street from us, and they still will make just the craziest shit for their tap room, which is awesome.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, winners, you know, but... it keeps it fun.
Well, Arlo, send us like through a typical day for you, because I am picturing and imagining you guys just having fun, kicking back, and being like, "Oh, I need to try that beer again," and "Oh, I'll have my fifth one today." Like, I'm assuming you get to drink on the job, but at the same point, I'm sure you got a little bit more responsibilities to do.
Yeah, you know, well, my typical day is first I get a bunch of children who want some golden tickets. I take them around, and we watch Oompa Loompas do all the work.
I'm in.
And hopefully none of them die getting into all of our stuff.
That would be a pretty amazing a beer tour of a place. Like,
well, they did that on Family Guy, you remember?
And you'll see.
But to be serious, I guess my day is typical day. I come in. I'm our sales manager, so I deal with all of our markets. And there's definitely, you know, we do beer tastings and, you know, we do flavor control tastings and tastings. So, yeah, we definitely, there's beer if we want it all day long.
Nice.
I'm sure it has to be in moderation.
Can't get too drunk, though. We got stuff to do. We used to be a little more drunk when there was a few of us. But now we have to be more careful.
Yeah,
the machines could take your hands off. They could only take a finger off back in the day. So.
Nobody wants flesh in their beer.
No,
I don't think.
Yeah.
So with the go ahead.
Brewery stuff, I guess it's a lot of brewery stuff all day long. You know, we have our fair share of crazy shenanigans all day with between packaging and brewing and cellaring and all that.
So you've so you've pretty much done all kinds of stuff at the brewery, right? Because we looked on the website and you are apparently the nucleus of ska brewing.
Yeah. So when I started, I used to do all the packaging. I ran a little packaging machine, which is kind of a hand bottler, and then a little bit more of an automated one, but not much. And then I delivered. All while doing like our beer fest on the weekends, and I used to deliver, drive trucks over the pass to Telluride, and then deliver all Durango, and I clean lines for the brewery, and so, yeah, I've done just about everything. I would help brew, you know, just assist in some of the brewing. I didn't do much of that, but I helped out when I could. So yeah, it was small. There was, you know, the three owners and me and a couple other guys, so you kind of just did everything.
Well, for us,
it was going off, and then now I've just graduated into this, and now I just do the sales.
Now you're doing podcasts.
I couldn't even tell you how to work our new machine. We have way new, bigger machines now. I couldn't even tell you how to work.
Well, you're saying about some brew fests and everything, going to those. How many of those do you think you go to a year?
Oh, let's see. I've backed off, but I still, I'm down from about 40 a year to probably at least 20.
Well, same about as how many I go to.
Yeah. I used to do about 45 or so. I get to go to a lot more fun ones. Like, you know, I've been to like Stockholm Beer and Whiskey and Gothenburg Beer Week and some of those places. A couple in England. And I'm going to one this next weekend in Salida on the 9th of Colorado, which is pretty fun. So,
isn't there a pretty big one in Denver? Isn't it like Great American Beer Fest or something?
Yeah, that's like the biggest one. But yeah, we go to that every year. You know, that's, everybody kind of goes to that, so you got to...
Yeah, of course.
Show up, and especially since it's in Colorado, you know, you feel like you got to put the show on for everybody.
Oh, of course. So, did you go to Philadelphia this year as well?
Yeah, I did. I was in Philly.
That's awesome.
I came in straight from Europe to Philly, so I was a bit slow, but I got it together towards the end.
So you're a pretty busy guy then, is what you're saying. That's awesome.
Sometimes, yeah.
How involved are Matt, Dave, and Bill still?
Oh, they're very hands-on. Dave's in every day. Matt is down the road. He's started a fabrication company called Ska Fabrication, and he builds the palletizers for canning lines. And he built his first one. He built was for Ska, and it worked. And people started asking him, so he started a whole company. So, but he's in every other day or so. And Bill is down. We also have a distillery in Palisade, and Bill deals with that. And he's down every couple of weeks, so they're very hands-on. We see him all the time. Nice. And it's pretty fun. I mean, they're all great guys to work for, and, you know, and it's a lot of years of just fun. You know, we try not to get thrown out of festivals, and we don't take as many drugs as we used to. But,
so you guys have a distillery as well.
Yeah, it's called Peach Street Distillery in Palisade, Colorado, near kind of all the localized fruit around Colorado. And, so we got goat vodka and basically Colorado bourbon. We were the first bourbon in Colorado.
Let's go. Wait. Back up. Goat vodka?
Goat vodka, jackalope gin. A lot of good stuff.
I think he just brushes over goat vodka. We're all like, what the hell's goat vodka?
I assume it's not actually made of goats.
It's just made of goat. It's made with localized Colorado sweet corn in Olathe, Colorado, nearby.
Okay.
And goat just seemed like a good name.
Definitely gets you to stop for a second.
Like, who the fuck is going to drink goat milk vodka? Like, that's what I thought of, like, right away.
So... No, that would be wild.
Yeah.
It's like a weird white Russian.
Yeah, the worst white Russian of all time. The dude would not abide.
Yeah.
So have you guys gone to any comic conventions in Colorado or anywhere else in the country with your beer?
Not with our beer. Unfortunately, the Denver one kind of got taken up by Breckenridge before we could jump on it. And we even tried to, like, weasel in. We were like, just let us work with you, man. We're the comic book brewery. But they were all about it. So we don't go with our beer, but I go to it.
Nice.
And hang out.
Okay.
And we can do some little parties around it, you know, around the convention center, which is always kind of fun. And for this next year, we kind of wanted to do more around some Comic Cons and have more fun with some of that. Hopefully, that's the goal in the markets we're in, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Now, what kind of what books are you reading right now?
Me, you know, I just I was at the flea market and I got a whole bunch of Marvel team ups.
Nice.
That are really fun. They're all old school. And I don't know if you've seen them. I'm sure you've seen them. But.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. I got a couple. I got one with the... I was going to dig one out of the rest of them here. Yeah, I got one with, you know, with Thor and a couple of them. They're really cool. And then I got the... I'm trying to get into the American Vampire.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep. That's a good one.
That intrigued me. That intrigued me with Stephen King, you know, but I haven't really fired into that yet. I got a lot stacked up.
It's all right, man. I do too.
I'm kind of a fan of, I like Marvel a lot, and I've also been into those, I kind of go back and reread, you know, the Hack and Slash? Have you ever?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I've read them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like those because they're kind of attacking the old horror movies, but with a hero. With somebody who doesn't die at the end.
Right. Yeah.
Well, do you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you know? Speaking of like the comic book right now, the for that origin story comic book, Do you know who drew that? Who helped create that?
Actually, it was a guy in Philly who works for a big marketing firm called Red Tedmer. And we met them years ago through somebody else. And they do what they call pet projects. And it's kind of projects for smaller companies that keep their guys like creative and exciting. And it was a guy that worked for them, and he kind of took it on and drew it.
Cool, cool.
So that was kind of wild.
I was going to say, we know plenty of artists and people that love doing some fun stuff that we could try to...
You guys need the hookup. We got it going. Yeah,
you say the word, we know so many people. We can make you guys have a comic book.
The real hurdle was we didn't really want to pay anybody for a while.
Right, yeah.
That's always the
trick.
That's
why it took 20 years. Every time we talk to them, they're like, yeah, that'll cost. We're like, wow, maybe not.
Yeah.
You can see what it takes to get an action figure made. I went all the way to the process of where the guy was like, here's the bill if you want to do it. And I was like, oh, $40,000 for one action figure?
Are you kidding? I know a guy, so we can talk later. But
I want an action figure now.
I want an action
Tony,
figure.
Tony, I know a guy. But anyway.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, though, I some of the people that we do know, though, they work in beer, so, I mean.
It's true. You could pay them and just send them cases of beer, and they'd be like, sweet.
It's definitely, you know, we're always probably open because, you know, I think we've got another idea for another one, and I think everybody wants to sit down and start writing it, and then it's time to find somebody else to draw it up.
So do you guys, is this like, when you guys write it, is it like a team effort, or the first one was
just the owners, but I think, you know, there's enough input now that people will start chiming in, and, you know, we sit down with some of the legal substances here, and everybody starts getting ideas. And...
Oh, Colorado.
No. That is some wonderful phrasing, Arlo. That's awesome.
keeps the creativity flowing a little bit.
Oh, I bet.
So I had a question looking at the viewfinder and noticing your guys' taps were all bowling pins. I mean, is there... And obviously there's a bowling alley within the comic book, like, how does that come involve the ska brewing?
Basically, you know, it was the comic book, the story, you know, because the whole thing ends in the Tin Pin Bowling Alley, you know. And then so everything we do, we try to tie together. And it's unfortunate you can't see all of our packages over the years because it's all very linked. And the bowling pins just felt like really good tap handles. They stand out. And, you know, we had it in the comic. And... You know, I guess the idea is to get people to kind of research our story when they see things about us they don't understand. We try to put the information out there, but you got to kind of look for it, and that makes it kind of fun as well. You know, to get, I think people get more into, like, they feel it's more like us. You know.
Oh, and, yeah, no, we were so excited to get beer with a comic book and a viewfinder. I mean,
it was pretty much the greatest moment of my life when I opened that box when it got delivered to my house. Just so you know, so thank you for that.
Right on. You know, yes, we try to just, you know, we've always kind of done everything like that. You know, we want people, you know, we're very approachable. You know, if you came to the brewery, you could ask for me, and if I'm not traveling, I'll come down out of the office and hang out, and the owners always do that. And, you know, we just always felt, you know, we kind of just do what we like, and if you don't like it, I guess you don't have to like us, but...
You guys are living the dream.
That's a good way to go about it, though, too, being approachable, because there's so many places that are so stuffy and just kind of dicks to you when you try to ask questions. I mean, we are friends with a lot of the local breweries around Grand Rapids, but there are some that are just, like, not possible to talk to someone, which kind of sucks, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just don't know how to do it any other way, I don't think. We tried to be stuffy.
That's great.
It just seemed weird.
Yeah.
One of us looked at each other like, what the hell's your deal?
So, Arlo, what's your favorite beer at the brewery?
Oh, man. You know, it's kind of crazy. All depends on what I'm doing. I really like them all. You know, I love Mandarina Modus, the Modus Mandarina. I like our Modus Hopperendi. But when summer comes and it's hot and we're out doing outdoor stuff, I'm pounding Mexican lagers.
As we were drinking that, we said it was a great summer beer.
It's a nice, like, sessionable, yeah, then, like, beer that you can drink.
It's
so.
A porch beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great for just hanging out by the barbecue and whatever with your friends. And,
heck yeah.
And, you know, we're all... we all raptors and stuff too. So when you're out in the river all day, you know, you gotta be able to get something kind of light all day long, you know.
Just, I really feel like I need to move to Colorado now.
Yeah, you guys have so much more cool stuff than we do. Like, I want a raft, but our river is like you float in a tube and you drink a lot and pee on yourself. So,
it's almost the river's going down, so it is almost tubing season. So, but you still need a lot of beer for that as well.
Of course, yeah,
need more for tubing season.
So Arlo Grammatica, I love your name.
Thanks.
You sound like you should be in a ska band. That is a ska band name.
Yeah, it kind of is, isn't it? I don't know. Well, the Arlo part is basically hippie parents.
Okay.
Grammatica. My dad's last name is Grammatica, and my grandfather was Italian, so yeah.
Just from a long line of NFL kickers, is that what it is?
Yeah. No, I'd have to kick my own ass if I was those two.
Oh, man. That's funny.
All right. Well, I don't, unless you boys got any other questions for Arlo.
I have learned plenty from you today, so I really appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
I am curious.
Feel free. I'm excited. It's always fun to hear people talk about comic books and stuff. You know, I love it. You know, I grew up in a small town, so I couldn't always get to the comic books. But when I find stuff I like, I just go after it and read it and check it out. So
that's a good call.
How does I have a quick question? How does one get to work for you? Because I'm almost thinking of selling my house and just driving out there. So I need a job when I get there.
Do you need podcasters?
Well, what can you do? You have to pretty much resign yourself to being poor.
Tony's already there. Don't worry.
Yeah, having a lot of fun and you know, just resumes and working. You know, we're not that hard to work for, really.
It sounds like the perfect job for Tony.
Opening level all the time.
Rock on. All right, Arlo, yeah. Well, thank you so much for talking to us and sending us free beer.
One thing?
Yes.
Yes.
I think Negan killed Glenn.
Shit, now we're going to get sued.
We're yeah, going to get sued.
Thanks, Arlo.
Thanks, man.
So do we.
You can cut that out if you want.
No, we won't.
Leave it in.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we talked about that because I'm sure you heard. So, yeah, that's hilarious.
I was cracking up. I was like, that's essentially, to me, is a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now everybody's talking about it again.
See? Exactly.
Geared up.
Oh, yeah. They know how to do it.
All right. Well, stay thirsty for Ska Brewing. You can find Drunk on Comics on Facebook at our website, drunkoncomics.com, as well as listen to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Points of Interest Podcast Network, as well as Podcast Detroit Network.